I want us to pray for the word, pray for yourself, and ask the Lord to speak to you today and say, Lord, do not pass me by. It is possible for you to be passed by. The way we are passed by is when our hearts are not open. So pray for yourself and ask for the grace of the Lord for revelation, shall we pray? Father, we thank you today for the revelation that you have prepared for us. We speak life today, even as your word is coming forth. We pray that lives will be changed. We pray that our perspective to prayer would be changed in the name of Jesus. Father, do something new in our lives today. We come against the spirit of religion that lies to us that we know it all. We ask for humility today as we sit under the ministry of the word. Holy Spirit of God, reveal to us what's on the heart of the Father. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Great. If you are joining us today for the first time, you are finding us in the process of a series entitled The Secret Place. The Secret Place, where we are talking about prayer. We are talking about how do we spend time in the presence of God. Amen. There are very few things in life that will affect your environment, that will affect the way life goes for you as attitude does. Your attitude has a profound effect on everything that you do. I want you to think about the attitudes that you have experienced in your different interaction with people. And I want you to realize it is impossible to live a life that is beyond your attitude. You cannot live your life beyond your attitude. You see, your attitude will either make you a likable person or it will make you into a detestable person. Your attitude in church will determine whether people find it easy to relate to you or people think he's such a difficult person. You can never get through to her. It looks like she has a different view all the time. And they know you as a person who has a different agenda. But an attitude, your attitude can also make you favorable with people, where people look forward to be in your presence, where people say, I just long to be with you. There are people where they don't come to church one Sunday, already you feel like, man, I haven't seen you in a while. Where have you been? Because of the attitude, because of the aura that they have. We normally talk about what do you leave in your wake. Those of you who have been on a speedboat, on a lake, there is a wake that is behind the speedboat due to the propeller. You look behind, you see where you are coming from. The question that I have with you this morning is, what do you leave in your wake? What are people reminded of when they leave your presence? Do they leave feeling full? Or they feel drained and they're looking for somebody to replenish them. Hello, somebody. I'm talking about the power of attitude. Those of you who are not married, your attitude would probably determine the person you'll get hooked up to. If you're a difficult chap, you might never attract the right people in your life. Single people, I'm telling you, attitude is key to the people that you'll end up getting married to. Because if your attitude is repellent by nature, guess what? Nobody will come and propose. Hello? Yes. So, guys, I'm giving you something to work on there. Work on your attitude. That old mama that you see in the taxi every time you go to work, you never know, she might be your mother-in-law. You better treat her so well. Because the way you treat her, she might be making certain prayers for you. She might be saying, I just wish this woman can see my son one day. Or she'll say, never. I pray against them meeting. I will not have her as my daughter-in-law because of your attitude. So your attitude will either open doors for you or your attitude will close doors for you. The leadership guru, John C. Maxwell, popularized this statement. He says, your attitude determines your altitude. Your attitude determines your altitude. And he was talking with regards to the a plane in its flight mode. The nozzle of the plane in relation to the horizontal plane determines whether it is going up or it is going down. So if the attitude is up facing, the plane will go upwards. And the same thing applies. If your attitude is upwards, your life will go up as well. These days, employers are no longer employing based on your IQ, based on how intelligent you are. They are now employing more so on your EQ, your emotional intelligence, your attitude. And you know why? If you are not skilled, we can skill you up. We can upskill you. But if your attitude is rotten, it is difficult to change some attitudes. Very, very difficult. So you'd find that you might not be that qualified, but because you've got a great attitude and you are best fit, they will employ you. They look at you in the interview and they say, you know what? We can work with this guy. He might not be strong here and there. We can train him up, but his attitude is best fit with the values of the company. And you get a job that you were never qualified for. Why? Because of your attitude. Now, in the Bible, we see people that had different attitudes. We see David had a different attitude. King David and King Saul, contrasting attitudes. When David sinned against God, he did not try to hide his sin. He was open before God when the prophet Nathan came to him and confronted him and said, hey, King David, you killed. You committed adultery. David turned around and said, Lord, only against you have I sinned. Please forgive me. And he was forgiven. But on the flip side, when Saul was told by Samuel that you had committed a sin, Saul was not repentant. In actual fact, Saul wanted to retain his position. And he said to Samuel, may you please come with me before the people so that it appears that everything is still fine. And God repented, said, I repent that I made this guy king. So the attitude of Saul led him to being repelled by God. And the attitude of David led him to be received by God, where God said, in David I have found a man after my own heart. It's not because David was perfect, but he had the right attitude. When you have the right attitude, doors in the spirit will open for you. Glory be to God. Amen. Now, the question we want to address this morning is, what attitude should we have when we spend time in prayer? I've gone to town to try and explain to you the power of attitude. How does our attitude in our time of prayer affect the way we pray and the results we get when we pray? Does somebody hear me this morning? So I've entitled my message this morning, A Heart for the Secret Place. Because your attitude emanates from the state of your heart. If your heart is great, your attitude will be great. If your heart is in the wrong place, your attitude will be in the wrong place. So we're going to talk about a heart for the secret place. What type of attitude do we need to have as we spend time in the presence of God? Take note of this. The attitude that accompanies prayer will determine the attention that prayer will receive from heaven. The attitude that accompanies prayer will determine the attention that the prayer will receive from heaven. It will determine whether the attention of heaven will be drawn to you or the attention of heaven will not be drawn to you. The attitude that you have when you pray. I want you to think about that for a moment and say, whenever I spend time in the presence of God, what is my attitude? Am I in the presence of God just to appease my conscience? Or I'm in the presence of God because I really long to be with the Father? Those are two different attitudes. The Bible mentions that our prayers are like incense in the nostrils of God. Our prayers rise up before God like an incense that comes into his nostrils. Revelation 5, verse 8. talking about the Lord Jesus who was found worthy to open the scroll. Yet now the Bible says, now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. These were golden bowls full of incense, which were the prayers of the saints. When we come before God, these prayers rise up before the throne room of God and enters in his nostrils. My question right now is, what is entering the nostrils of God as you pray? What is entering the nostrils of God as you pray? When you look at Psalm 141 verse 2, the Bible says, let my prayer be set before you as incense. Let my prayers be set before you as incense. Do you know why they're alluding to the issue of incense as prayer? It is because in the Old Testament, the priest would burn incense during the time of prayer. Whenever the priest would pray, they would burn incense before the altar. And I want you to know, in the same way, when you come before God in your altar of prayer, you are burning incense before God. So do not underestimate what will be happening in the spirit. There will be something rising up before the throne room of God when you are praying. And the question this morning is, what is going up into heaven? When you pray, what is going up to heaven? There is quite an emphasis on the sense of smell in the Bible. Our prayers and our lives are actually an incense that rises up before God. So it's either our prayers are a sweet incense before God, or they become a stench in the nostrils of God. You remember the story or the account of Sodom and Gomorrah? When the angels approached Lot in Sodom and Gomorrah, they said something to Lot. The Bible says here in Genesis 19, verse 13, the angel was saying to Lot, for we will destroy the city completely. For we will destroy the city completely. The stench of the place has reached to heaven. Do you hear that? The stench of the city has reached heaven. And all of a sudden, heaven said, this is not the type of smell that I want to experience coming on earth from this place. And the angels were sent, and they destroyed that whole place. What comes up right now? This is my question. What comes up in your nostrils in the nostrils of God when you are busy praying? Now, one of the things that determines what comes up in the nostrils of God is the attitude with which we pray. So the attitude that accompanies your prayer will either make your prayers sweet or a stench in the nostrils of God. Your attitude will rise up as a sweet smell or is a stench. And we know when it is sweet, the heavens will respond. You remember the story of Noah when God had destroyed the entire earth because of the sin that was on earth. Now I'm in Genesis 6. The Bible talks about how Noah burnt sacrifices unto God, and the sweet smell of the sacrifices went into heaven. And the Bible says, God said, never again will I destroy the entire earth. Why did God turn around? It was because of the sweet smell that was rising up from the altar that Noah had sacrificed before God. I believe when we pray with the right attitude, God would say, we need to do something about this situation. It cannot remain in the same way. So I'm going to cover with you just three aspects of attitudes around prayer. The first attitude that we need to have when we pray is this. When you pray, expect to receive answers to your prayers. Something as basic as that changes the atmosphere. When you pray, you need to expect answers to your prayers. There's nothing that pleases God than a prayer that is accompanied by expectation. Why do we waste our time if we don't expect God to answer? How many times have you heard a believer after something profound has happened, like, I don't believe it. I don't believe it. I don't believe it that God has just done this. We say it, but if you really look deeper into that, we are probably saying what we were contemplating when we were praying. You know? I actually don't believe God has done this. So, Israel Houghton said, an atmosphere of expectation is a breeding ground for miracles. An atmosphere of expectation is a breeding ground for miracles. So when you pray and your heart is full of expectations, it creates an atmosphere where miracles will happen. Glory be to God. I don't know what you're expecting from God when you pray. You see, expectancy will cause you to pray with more intent. When you know that my prayers are going to be answered, there is more intention, there is more pressure, there is more. You pray with such an hunger in your heart because you know God will do something about your prayers. Child of God, don't waste your time if you don't expect God to answer you. Don't pray. But when you pray, expect God to come through for you. There's a story, or there's an account here in Acts chapter 3, verse 1. One of the first miracles that were done by Peter when they were walking through the beautiful gate after Pentecost, after the Holy Spirit had come upon the church, they were now walking into the temple. And I'm surprised that this man had been crippled and been on that beautiful gate for years. Something had changed with Peter. The Holy Spirit had come upon them. They had a new boldness that was upon them. And this is the story. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him, with John, Peter said, look at us. So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. What was the trigger of this miracle? Atmosphere of expectation. This man who had been lame was expecting to receive something. Though he was expecting to receive what he wanted, he then received what he needed. There is a difference sometimes between what we want and what we really need. So this man looked at Peter after Peter said, look to us. And he was expecting charity. He was expecting a little bit of change. And Peter looked at him and he saw faith. There was already an atmosphere for a miracle. The guy was ready to receive something. And he received way more than he was expecting. But the point is, he was expectant. I wonder, when we come into a time of prayer, are we expecting an answer? Are we expecting heaven to respond to our prayers? When we come to church, are we expecting to experience the presence of God? Because when you expect something, you will receive according to your expectation. Don't waste your time, yes, don't waste your time praying unless you expect God to do something for you. Mark 11, verse 24. The Bible says, for this reason, I am telling you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe. In other words, trust and be confident that it is granted to you and you will get it. Your level of conviction with regards to God answering your prayers will determine whether prayer answers will come your way. He says here, when you pray, you've got to believe, you've got to be confident that God is hearing my prayer. What I've come to realize is that a prayer of expectation is not a generic prayer. You've heard of a sniper kind of prayer, and a machine gun type of prayer, where you just shoot and say, I might just shoot something. You're just shooting across randomly. You are not being very precise with your prayers. Those kind of prayers, you don't expect answers for them. It's like you start praying and say, Lord, I'm praying that you bless all the poor people in the world. Mm-hmm. How do you know if that prayer has been answered? Lord, I pray that you bless and you give houses to everybody who does not have a house. That's a generic prayer. When we are talking about expectation here, you've got to be very specific about your prayers. The reason why it's important for you to be specific, it is because you are waiting patiently to see those things coming to pass one by one. How will you know if God has answered your prayers unless you are very specific? Hello? I want to challenge the church right now. Stop praying these machine gun type of prayers. You've got to be specific. Are you praying for a business? What type of a business are you trusting the Lord for? Are you praying for a job? What type of a job are you trusting the Lord for? Does somebody hear me this morning? That's a prayer of faith. It reminds me of, I've had a lot of specific prayers in my life that have come to pass. In this church, there are some very specific prayers I've made. Sometimes in the morning times of prayer, I would make specific prayers about certain people. And I see them rocking to church. And I know God has answered that prayer because I was very specific about that type of about that prayer. Back in 2003, how many years is that? A good 16 years? How many years? 16 years, right. 2003, October. On the 23rd of October, I had started praying for a life partner. When I was in my third year. Okay, before you pull up that slide. When I was in my third year, I started praying for a life partner. I said, Lord, I'm trusting you for a woman, for a wife, not for a girlfriend. No, that wasn't my vision. My vision was never for a girlfriend. It was for a wife. Some people would think I was being arrogant. But anyway, so I was praying for a wife. And I remember with a friend from Swaziland, Muzi Muzwandile Dlamini, who used to pray and fast on every Tuesday for our life partners. And now in my honest year, I remember in October sometime, the Lord questioned me, says to me, you've been praying for a wife. Do you know what you want in a wife? And he said to me, if you don't know what you want in a wife, you will not know when you see her. And all of a sudden, I realized I did not know what I wanted in a wife. And I said, Lord, now show me, you know, what do I really want in a wife? Now you can pull up that slide. That is 2003. That's photo was written 2003, 19 past 12 midnight. Classified file. I remember, the reason why I'm bringing this up, the power of being specific in your prayers. That was after midnight, and I started writing down what I really wanted in a wife. I wrote 15 points. I'm not going to mention them to you, but they are here. 16 points that I said, Lord, this is what I want in a woman. This is what I want in a wife. I wrote point by point. That was, what date was that? That was the 24th of October. On the 26th of October, I got to speak to who my wife is now. I met my wife. And I sent this to her 5 days ago. I said, does this meet you? It's like, that is so spot on. The Lord was so faithful. I'm not saying do that. But for me, it worked. I was very specific. And today, we are 13 years in our marriage, and I look at this prayer list, and I say, God, you are so faithful. I don't know, let me just read some of the stuff here. One of the stuff I wrote here was, she must be lovable and have a sweet spirit, a quiet spirit. She must be a liberal person, tender-hearted. She must be diligent. Must be able to create a home in my house. She must love the house and everything that has to do with it. She must enjoy cooking. We must enjoy each other's company. She must find me interesting to be around. She's got to be a cheerful person. She must have a teachable spirit. We must be compatible in our destinies. She must be able to compliment me in my weak areas. And then I can't go on the other stuff. But then at the end I said, God, you said, delight yourself in the Lord, and you will grant me the desires of my heart. Lord, these are the desires of my heart concerning a life partner. May you make a way for me to meet this person. You say the desires of the righteous shall be granted. Lord, give me a discerning spirit to be able to know when she comes my way. And then I say, Lord, if you give me this woman, I make a covenant with you that I will lead her in your ways all the days of my life. 2003. Come on now, let's clap our hands to God. What am I saying to us today? It was a prayer of expectation. I was expecting, and I spoke to my wife now on her 21st birthday, on the 26th of October. It was the first time I spoke to her. And voila, here we are, two kids down the road. I'm grateful. God answered that prayer. And it's a place of faith for me to be able to go back and say, Lord, if you could do that to that degree, you can do this today. Glory be to God. You are able to make a way for me. God is faithful. You just have to be specific. You just have to work with Him. Let's go to the next attitude. We'll do just two today. Another attitude that allows our prayers to be sweet before God is when you pray, desire the will of God to be done in your life. It is basic, but that is a major key for prayers that God loves. It is a major key for prayers that God is excited about. Why? Because you are praying according to His will. You are coming and presenting your list, but you are qualifying your list. And you're saying, Lord, these are my desires, but I want your will to be done. Glory be to God. When you come into a secret place, you need to have an attitude that is submitted to the will of God. Some of our prayers don't get answered because they are not in line with the will of God. Just think about it. You can then ask me right now and say, Pastor, what's the point of me praying if God is going to do His will anyway? Don't we ask that question sometimes? What's the point in praying if He's going to have His way in my life anyway? You see, that question comes from a lack of an appreciation of what the will of God entails in our lives. I want you to know this morning that God knows you better than you know yourself. And because He knows you better than you know yourself, He knows what is good for you. God knows what is good for this church. God knows what is good for your life. And therefore, we are in a better position walking in His will than walking in our own will. God is in eternity. Therefore, He knows tomorrow before you get to tomorrow. He then knows what will work for you tomorrow. So when we pray, we present our petitions and our prayers before Him, but we say to Him, Lord, I really want your will to be done in my life. Our problem is the enemy has lied to us that the will of God is actually not good for us. We feel that if we say, Lord, I have met this guy, and I really love him. We feel that if we say, Father, let your will be done, He will take him away from us. And therefore, it won't really be good for us because he's the only guy I have seen around. We think he's the whole world. And yet God is looking at this guy and saying, in this guy, there is a wrong spirit. If you get married to him, you are getting married to problems. And therefore, he cuts off the relationship. So when we come before God and asking Him for His will to be done, we are in a better place when we are walking in His will than in our own ways. Why am I saying this? Proverbs 14 verse 12. The Bible says, there is a path before each person that seems right. It seems right. It sounds right. It feels right. But is it really right? Hello? Now, But it ends in death. It means that you and I are always a couple of steps behind the real stuff. Jesus, the Holy Spirit, sees beyond us and he looks into the future. He says, you are trusting me for that job, but that company is going to close in 6 months' time. I'm not going to give you that job. I don't know if you've been there before, but I've been there so many times. I remember in 2017, I was trusting God. I was tired in my consulting place. I'm like, Lord, I want to move. And I got the job. And I was praying now. My heart was very not at peace. And I said, Lord, I just need you to come through for me here. I want your will to be done. I'm unhappy where I am, but I'm not so sure about where I'm about to go. I need you to come through for me. And I remember saying, Lord, if this is not your will, let them say they can't afford me. They gave me the offer. But the offer, when they looked at my current package, they had not looked at the full package. So they gave me part of my package. And then I said, but guys, it's not even the whole thing. They're like, well, if that's the case, we can't afford you. And therefore, the job did not go through. I was so much at peace. And a year and a half down the line, the company bundled up. And I look back and I say, Lord, thank you for not answering that prayer of me wanting to move. See, there are so many relationships that the Lord did not bring you into. And today, your life is different because you do not meet certain people. There's that woman that you wanted to marry and somehow she ditched you in the last hour and you're heartbroken and say, Lord, where are you? How could she do this to me? But right now you look back and you say, Lord, thank you for breaking that relationship. Hello? So we need to say, Father, let your will be done. Let your will be done. There are so many times that you see in the Bible where God allows things to happen, not because it was his first priority. You remember the story of when the Israelites got King Saul. The Israelites went to the prophet Samuel and they said, men of God, your children are nonsense. They cannot lead us. We want a king. Give us a king so that we can be like all the other nations of this world. We want a king that we can bow down before. And Samuel was so grieved. He felt he was being rejected. And God came down to Samuel and said, don't you worry. They are not rejecting you. They are rejecting me. For I am their judge. But I will show them what they will suffer as a result of them wanting a king. And God went on to give them King Saul. And Prophet Samuel was presenting Saul, he told them, this is what you're going to experience from this king. This king will take your cows, your animals. This king will put so many taxes on you because you begged for a king. Sometimes the Lord will allow certain things to happen to us just to teach us a lesson. The story of the Israelites crying for meat in the desert. They said, we want meat, we want meat, we miss meat from Egypt. Give us meat, meat, meat. And God said, okay, I'll give you meat. And he allowed quails to come. The Bible says quails were knee deep. As far as they could see from the east to the west, there was plenty nyama. They were craving for meat. And yet God wanted to give them manna. There was enough nutrients in there. They said, we want meat like we had in Egypt. God gave them meat, but they did not enjoy the meat. The Bible says, when the meat was still just on their mouth, a plague hit them, and a number of them died. We need to be careful what we demand. If it's not in the will of God, is it really good for us? We've got to wait upon God long enough and allow him to have his way. You know what? God has the best for you on his heart. We've got to trust him that when he changes certain things in our lives, it's not to deprive me, it is for my future. It is for the better. Glory be to God. The Bible says, for he knows the thoughts and the plans he has for us. Thoughts of good and not of bad, to give us a hope and a future. It might not sound like it right now, but he is working everything out for your good. Glory be to God. So I want to encourage you right now. Don't be afraid with saying, Father, let your will be done. You are in a safe place when you allow Father to have his will done in your life. How do you know that you're praying the will of God? As we draw to the end of this sermon today, how do you know you're praying the will of God? The one way to ensure that you're praying the will of God, other than God coming and speaking to you and telling you that this is for you or this is not for you, it is to pray the word. It is when you have crafted prayers based on the word of God. You could hear when I was finishing my prayer that I wrote 16 years ago. It was crafted on the word of God. And I was standing on the promises of God. So prayers that are backed by the word of God are effective. And they yield results for the people of God. Don't just shoot. Get into the word and say, what does the word of God say? I want you to know God desires that you might have good health. Don't come tell me that God is punishing me. God desires to use this sickness. You've got to pray because he desires to heal you. You leave the rest to him. Do not make calls for God. Get him, remind him of his word. Because he says, remind me of my word. Remind me of what I have written. I want you to know that when your child comes to you and they say to you, but mama, you promised, it changes everything. If you're an honorable parent, you drop everything and you go and do what you promised. Now, when we come before God and we remind him of his word, when the word of God tells us but that by his stripes we are healed, we've got to put pressure on that word until we see results. So pray the word of God. The word of God tells us to forgive, to love our enemies. So when you are praying and you don't feel like praying for that person, the word of God says, pray for them. You are praying the word. I want to challenge you today. The desire of God is for you to have peace. Therefore, call upon the shalom of God. He says, my peace I will leave with you. That is what Jesus was saying. I will give you my peace, not as the world gives you. I will give you my peace. Is there turmoil in your life? Go look for a scripture that speaks of your situation. Locate your situation in the word and stand on the word. Meditate on the word until the word speaks back to you and builds up faith in your heart. Glory be to God. So what are we talking about this morning? We are talking about a heart for the secret place. A heart for the secret place. When you go into your prayer time with expectation, it is a prayer of faith. And the Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please God. You are expectant. And you're also saying, Lord, I'm putting down my laundry list, but I want your will to be done. This is what I want for me, but what do you want for me? I lay down these desires so that I can pick on your desires. When you do that, your prayers become a sweet aroma in the nostrils of God. And God will come down and heal the land. Glory be to God. I don't know who needs revival right now in their prayer life. We're saying, Lord, my attitude hasn't been great. I need a refresher. I need my attitude to be right. Next week, we'll continue on this issue of a heart for the secret place. But these two will be enough for you to chew on this week and to say, Lord, change my attitude. I've been praying, but in a religious way. Some of you grew up praying. Some of you here grew up knowing that before you go to bed, you should pray. You taught that before you leave your room, you must pray. But is there life in that time of prayer? Are you being specific? Are you praying with expectation? The Bible says, let it be done to you according to your expectation. Because faith can also be spelled as expectation. Let it be done to you according to your faith. Today I want us to pray for ourselves, for the right attitude in our times of prayer. Can somebody just open up your mouth right now and speak to the Lord? We are talking about prayer. Yes, we are praying about praying right now. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your faithfulness. Father, we pray right now for your grace over your people. Lord, we pray that you move by your power and bring revival in our prayer times. I pray today, Father, in the name of Jesus, that we would know how to approach the throne of grace. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray, Father, for an awakening, Lord, where some of us are praying, but our prayers are dead. We pray that there is life in our times of prayer. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray for those of us who are praying, but it's a routine. It's a ticking box exercise. We pray right now in the name of Jesus that you do something fresh in the life of the church. Father, we give you glory today and we give you honor in the name of Jesus. Come on now, if you are blessed, I want you to just clap your hands to Jesus. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name.